Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Thank you very much indeed. Hugh, we're going to talk about a topic now. If it hasn't affected your family already, it probably will at some point in the future. Ireland's nursing home sector is increasingly reliant on a small number of profit-driven international operators, according to a new report published by the ESRI today. The report, which looks at developments in the sector since the COVID-19 pandemic, shows that nearly 40% of all long-term residential care beds are now operated by 15 medium to large operators, 14 of which are funded by private equity firms. To discuss the report on nursing home care in Ireland, I'm joined from our Waterford studio by Minister of State for Mental Health and Older People, Mary Butler. Minister, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Cormac. Good afternoon.
They're incredible statistics, aren't they, from the ESRI report. Nearly three quarters of all nursing home beds are now provided in private homes, and 14 large private operators now provide approximately 40% of all nursing home beds nationally. Why are large, profit-driven, multinational nursing homes so dominant here?
Thank you very much for inviting me on. I suppose I wasn't surprised by what was in the ERSI report, because I have said it several times myself. I have said it on this programme, the fact that 15 large companies control 10,700 beds in the nursing home sector. That's of 22,700 Fair Deal beds. And it's something that has developed. So if I was speaking to you 20 years ago, which I wasn't involved in politics, and I'm not sure whether you were involved in journalism, 20 years ago, the ratios in Ireland were nursing home care was 80% public and 20% private. We've had a complete flip on that to 80% private, 3% voluntary, and only 17% public.
And particularly since the COVID-19 pandemic, particularly actually during the time of your being in that position, the Minister of State for Older People. Why is it happening?
It's happening because investors are looking for to invest. They're seeing Ireland as a place where we have a highly regulated sector in relation to HICWA for nursing home care. We have an aging population. They're guaranteed funding through Fair Deal. And I know many will say, and the sector will say, they're not being funded. The budget for 2023 was €1.5 billion. More than my entire mental health budget to fund Fair Deal. And I suppose the other piece was a lack of consolidation of the nursing home sector. So as I've said many times...
Back to that. But can I ask you, is this to allow a small number of large companies, multinational companies, to operate so much of the nursing home sector, is that government policy?
It's not government policy. It has emerged over several years. So what we have now...
So why hasn't the government intervened to stop it?
Well, it's quite difficult to intervene, because what we have is a decision was made probably 20 years ago to decide to outsource the care of older people to the private sector by the HSE and the department. And that's the reality of the situation. I have to be honest about that.
But we have Sláintecare, don't we?
We do have Sláintecare.
Does that propose to reverse that?
Well, where I'm at the moment is trying to reverse that. So what we have is we have operating companies provide the care. The NTPF agreed the deed or the rate of money, but many of the operators, so the large 15, they do not own the physical infrastructure. They don't own the building. They rent from a property company and a REIT, an investment fund. And I have been saying this for the past 3 years, where we have seen over €2 billion of equity funds from East Europe and being invested into the nursing home sector here. And I think this is a wake-up call today.
So are you saying it's impossible to reverse this?
It's not impossible, but...
So how will you reverse it?
Okay, so I'll tell you how I plan to reverse it. So the first thing I did on the 19th of December, I announced a new public consultation on a design guide for long-term residential care settings for older people. Before any company could apply to their local authority to apply for planning permission to build a nursing home. This has gone out to public consultation now. So what will happen going forward is you'll have to do a pre-planning meeting with HICWA in advance of attempting to build a nursing home in Ireland to make sure, first going down, you're compliant. Secondly, what we're doing at the moment is, since 2016, we have been reconfiguring our CNU, so the HSE-run community nursing units, the length and breadth of the country. We have been reconfiguring them. We have 47 complete. We have 40 3 more to do. So what I have asked, I've spoken to Bernard Gloucester, I've spoken to Minister Donnelly, I've spoken to estates in relation to this. What I want to see now, instead of just providing the same amount of beds, so if you're replacing a 50-bedded unit in Clonmel, for example, what we're doing at the moment, I want to see the beds being expanded maybe to 60 to 70. I know it's only a small amount of beds, but I'm also very...
Rectify the problem, because the problem that's being outlined here that people are discussing all day is that when, particularly in rural Ireland now, outside of the main cities, when a small family-run nursing home, which is run privately, is shut down, that locality is either left without a nursing home option or a larger operator comes in and buys it. So can I ask you this, and this was discussed earlier on the Clare Burn programme, if a private operator shuts down, could the HSE buy that and bring it into public ownership?
It would be on a case-by-case basis, and this is something that we have looked at. So just to say, nursing homes close for a myriad of reasons, and we've heard that one in every 5 rural nursing homes have closed, as according to this report. I was a little bit disappointed that in the report, even though it was an excellent report, they didn't speak about nursing homes that were closed by being non-compliant with HICWA, and they also didn't talk about those nursing homes, 7 of them in 2022, when I was on your programme speaking about it, that reconfigured. They decided to remove one group of vulnerable people for another group of vulnerable people for profit. And I will stand over that all day long.
Yeah, I know. And there are 7 cases that you mentioned there. But you say a case-by-case basis that the HSE could buy a private nursing home that's being shut down. Has that happened in the last 2 years?
No, it hasn't. You see, sometimes nursing homes...
So where is the evidence that it will happen in the next 2?
No, so what I have asked, and I'm working with the HSE, and we have looked at, we've had some nursing homes that closed in 2023, and I have asked on a case-by-case basis that we would look, is there an opportunity, and conversations have been had with providers, but it's not always possible. Sometimes because the nursing home would take too much work to make it compliant with HICWA. Secondly, because sometimes they're family owned, sometimes they're adjacent to or part of family properties, and what happens is the family member may not want to take it on. That's only in a small amount of cases.
Yeah, but Hang on a second. You're not asking the family member to take it on. I'm asking you, if a private operator is shutting down or selling, that the state buy it. And I just wonder if the state can't make it compliant with HICWA standards, then who can?
Well, you have to look at it on a case-by-case basis. An awful lot of the nursing homes have closed, are very, very small nursing homes, 25, 30, 40 beds. And it has to be viable, and you have to make sure that you're going to be able to staff it. But what I will say to you in the last...
Isn't consistent. Can I put this to you? Because you're saying that it is your intention to reverse the trend that is happening. And that trend, as pointed out by the ESRI, is that when smaller operators shut down, it is bought by a larger company, multinational company. Mm-hmm. But yet when I point out one option to you to reverse that trend, you're not non-committal.
It's not that I'm not non-committal. So what I want to do is I want to start to reverse the trend. That's the first point. So some of the beds that we have lost in the public sector were lost because of HICWA compliance. They were lost because we have moved to a situation where we're trying to provide more care in the home as against long-term residential care. But the question that you have asked me is, will we look on a case-by-case basis of a nursing home that decides to close to see whether it can be purchased by the state? Yes, we will. And as I said, they're not always easy. So you'll be aware of the fact that a nursing home recently, now they were outliers. There was a nursing home that closed in the Kinsale area. There was one closed in my own area of Waterford. But, there's complications in relation to some nursing homes and who the actual owners are, who owns the buildings. So it's not as simple as just going in.
Another option you have, which I'm sure you're well aware of, and I'm sure you've heard the criticism from various operators, one of which is Pádraig Ó'Cadhia, who owns and runs 2 nursing homes, and we spoke with earlier in the programme. He said the government doesn't understand the issues facing nursing homes and that they've lost the plot, particularly when it comes to funding, because it's not keeping pace with costs. Could you increase the funding provided to nursing homes?
So we have increased the funding provided to nursing homes, and I'll give you an example. 320 nursing homes who renegotiated their deed this year with the NTPF received an increase of between 6% and 7%. So I'll just give you one quick...
Inadequate, they say.
just let me spell it out for people listening. So, for example, the increase for a nursing home in Carlow was €93 per person per week. So you take a 50-bedded nursing home with an increase of €93 per person per week, that's an additional 240,000. The average increase per nursing home last year was 165,000 per person per week.
Let me throw some detail back at you. Conor McNulty, owner of Marymount Nursing Homes in Lucan, spoke with Claire Byrne on this program on this station earlier today. He said exactly what you say there. The increase has been in around 5 or 6% in terms of funding. Cost have increased by 20%, he said.
Yes, but you must also take into account the additional supports that the government have provided over the last 3 years to the nursing home sector. Over €150 million in temporary assisted payment during COVID. I've only announced a scheme last week again in order to be HICWA compliant in relation to building regs, where each nursing home can claim up to €25,000 backdated to the 1st of January. Cormac, the figures speak for themselves. We are throwing a huge amount of money at this sector. But look, let's take it back to 2009.
74% of all nursing home beds are now provided in private nursing homes. And 14 large operators provide approximately 40% of the beds nationally.
So I want to take it back to 2009 when Fair Deal was first introduced. And the whole premise of Fair Deal is the less you have, the less you pay. The more you have, the more you pay. This is for the resident, the service user. And I'm very conscious as we speak here today that the service users may be listening. The staff working in the nursing homes may be listening. And that is their home from home and where many of them will take their last breath. So I just want to be conscious of that. Now, the whole purpose of Fair Deal was to make sure that people, regardless of their means, could afford nursing home care. And I don't think anyone envisaged back in 2009 that interest rates for European REITs would determine the pressures of nursing home care in Ireland. And I do believe that when you have a situation where you have a company running a nursing home, but you also have somebody else who actually owns the physical infrastructure, and then you have investment REITs, there's a lot of 5% profits being looked at between the provider, between the owner and between the investor. And that's where the challenges are coming from.
So what are the risks as you see them in having a small number of multinational companies running so many nursing homes in Ireland? What is the main risk?
I think the main risk is that if one of them failed, for example, we would be exposed. The 15 companies control 10,700 beds, so we would be certainly exposed there. I also think you have to take into account that, and this was in the report very, very clearly, when you lose small, family-run, voluntary community nursing homes in areas, you're expecting people to travel further to get the care that they need.
Yeah, and is there a care quality risk?
There's potentially a care quality risk, but we have an excellent regulator in HICWA. They have my full support. It's important for me to say this. 98% of all inspections to nursing homes last year were unannounced, which is my request, because I think it's very, very important.
Does this worry you? This is from page 73 of the ESRI report. The international experience with large international operators financed by private equity offers important lessons for Ireland. Such arrangements often create an environment where profit motives can supersede care quality.
Yes, I think everything that's in the report has to be looked at and it has to be spoken about, because there is no doubt about it. More stringent oversight on private equity ownership in the sector may be warranted. That was stated in the report very, very clearly. And I suppose the point I'm going to make, and I made this on my own local radio station this morning, the point I want to make is that I do not believe personally, and I've come from a business background where I worked in business and made a profit, but I do not believe personally that the care of older people in Ireland in 2024 should be determined by profit.
Okay, and there's a risk that it will be, according to the ESRA report. I will let you go in just a second. If you don't mind, I will ask you one other question on another topic, because this afternoon, listeners may not be aware, a man has been given a 3-month suspended sentence in relation to threats made against you, Minister Mary Butler. The sentencing relates to messages sent by phone to you that were grossly offensive, that were indecent and that were menacing. Can I ask you for your reaction to that news today?
So I left home to come into the RTE studio here to do this interview with you, and I only saw the breaking news myself shortly before I left. I was aware that the court case was on today. It has been adjourned on several occasions, and I'm just trying to actually take it in, and I'm just reading here from the RTE report that a County Longford man has been given a 3-month suspended sentence in relation to threats made against myself. I am not the only person that threats have been made against, but I have to say, and I spoke about this in an interview over Christmas, the changes that I have seen in my 8 years since being elected in 2016 to Dáil Éireann to represent the people of Waterford, the changes have been absolutely immense in relation to your personal security, your peace of mind, and the difficulty in performing your duties, especially since I became Minister for Mental Health.
Really?
Yes. And I don't say that lightly, but it's the truth.
Would you like to elaborate on that a little bit? I mean, how much worse has it got, and why?
Well, it has become very, very difficult, and it's interesting. We were offered security by the Gardaí a couple of years ago. They would come and they would look at your house, they would look at your constituency offices, and just talk in general about your security. And all Oireachtas members were offered this. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting the day he was actually in my own home in Portlaw, County Waterford. Detective Sergeant Mick Burke, I have to give him a mention because he's been so good to me.
Yeah.
And he was in my home, and a text came in, and I said, just look at what I am putting up with. And he read it, and he said, Mary, you have to report this. He said, you're nearly becoming immune, he said, to the levels of abuse that you're receiving. You have to report it. So I went in on that Friday of that week to report it. And while I was sitting making the statement, and they had taken my phone upstairs to have a look at it, the techie guys inside in the Garda station, another text came in while I was actually in the Garda station. And so, you know, I made the statement. It was the DPP decided that he would push it. And now we have the results of it today. I suppose, look, I spoke out openly this year also about a significant death threat I received. And I spoke about that I'm not comfortable anymore as a result of the threats, how offensive they were, and the fact that I have got a death threat earlier this year, that I do consider whether I would walk alone in areas anymore.
Really? That bad?
Yeah.
Mary, yeah.
That's bad.
And I think I noticed a change in your tone of voice when you talk about this. And it's something obviously of great concern. And why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't it be? How do you feel now? You still feel threatened, do you?
I don't actually still feel threatened. I'm very much supported by the Gardaí locally. You know, so their advice to me during the last 6 months have been, if I'm attending a public event, they would prefer if I didn't, for example, if I didn't have it advertised in advance, and they will attend. Now, I don't want to be in a situation where I, as a public representative, can't move openly and freely. And I don't feel that here.
Yeah.
I drove myself here to the station today. I'm only 20 minutes from it.
Okay.
I don't feel that. But at the same time, there are times when I will consider where I'm going if I'm on my own. And in the main, I rarely go anywhere on my own anymore.
My goodness. That's really disappointing to hear, I must say. And I'm so sorry for you, I must say, on a personal level. Can I ask you before I let you go, Mary, did you ever consider leaving politics because of this?
No, I love it too much. And I love being Minister for Mental Health and Older People. And I'm so proud of the fact, for example, that in Ireland, we have the highest life expectancy in the EU as deemed by the World Health Organization. And we were the first country ever to have age-friendly status here in Ireland. I love my job. Today, I spent my whole day, I suppose it was in relation to this report, meetings with the department, meetings with my advisors, getting ready for several interviews. And I do love it and I enjoy it. And I love meeting people. However, the change, I suppose, in my, you know, like I used to always do clinics on a Saturday, the Lent and Bread of the County of Waterford. Mm-hmm. All of that has changed. COVID changed a lot.
Yeah.
But in relation to my personal safety, Since these threats have come in, I have to reconsider, my movements. Okay. And I'm sorry to have to say that.
And I'm sorry to hear it as well. I hope the conclusion of that case brings you some solace. For the moment, Minister of State for Mental Health and Older People, Mary Butler, thank you very much indeed for joining us.